So today we are very fortunate that we are having His Grace Nityanand Charan Prabhu to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam. So I will briefly introduce Prabhuji. Nityanand Charan Prabhuji is currently residing as a monk in ISKCON Chowpatty. He holds a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering from Pune University. He came in touch with the teachings in 2003 when he was only 21 years old and joined full time as a monk at the age of 24 and has been a seeker who would dream of becoming a monk even when he was a small child. He teaches to a diverse audience separately, consisting of the youth, small children, families, young couples, and more than convincing people intellectually. He believes in conveying his message through love and personal touch. He believes that once people develop faith in you, they open the doors to their heart, and then it's very easy to enter their heart. He has been an instrumental force of the operations behind the Gita launch, along with the Negrika Foundation. So, Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Yes, Mataji, yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. We are very fortunate to have you on the call. So now I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Now you can please start the class. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So my humble obeisances to all of you. All glories to Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So we'll chant the verse first, right?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Right. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter number 1, Verse number 3. Prajapati sa Bhagavan Ruchistasyama Jijanat. Is everybody going to repeat or I just... Hey,
Hello, Prabhuji.
I'll just chant and go on. All right. Prajapati sa Bhagavan Ruchistasya Maji Janat Mithunam Brahma Varchasvai Paramena Samadhina. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Ruchi, who was very powerful in his Brahminical qualifications and was appointed one of the progenitors of the living entities, begot one son and one daughter by his wife, Akuti. Purport. The word Brahma Varchasva is very significant. Ruchi was a Brahmana and he executed the Brahminical duties very rigidly. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Brahminical qualifications are control of the senses, control of the mind, cleanliness within and without, development of spiritual and material knowledge, simplicity, truthfulness, faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, etc. There are many qualities which indicate a Brahminical personality, and it is understood that Ruchi followed all the Brahminical principles rigidly. Therefore, he is specifically mentioned as Brahma Varchasvi. One who is born of a Brahmana father but does not act as a Brahmana is called, in Vedic language, a Brahma Bandhu, and is calculated to be on the level of Shudras and women. This is thus in the Bhagavatam, we find that Mahabharata was specifically compiled by Vasudeva for Sri Shudra Brahma Bandhu, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.4.25. Sri means women, Shudra means the lower class of civilized human society, and Brahma Bandhu means persons who are born in the families of Brahmanas but do not follow the rules and regulations carefully. All of these three classes are called less intelligent. They have no access to the study of the Vedas, which are specifically meant for persons who have acquired the Brahminical qualifications. This restriction is based not upon any sectarian distinction, but upon qualification. The Vedic literatures cannot be understood unless one has developed the Brahminical qualifications. It is regrettable, therefore, that persons who have no Brahminical qualifications and have never been trained under a bona fide spiritual master, nevertheless, comment on Vedic literatures like the Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas, for such persons cannot deliver the real message. Ruchi was considered a first-class Brahmana, therefore he is mentioned here as Brahma Varchasvi, one who had full prowess in Brahminical strength. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshtarine. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sachivam. Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate. Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Madhira. Hare Krishna. So this is a verse from fourth canto, and Maitreya Rishi is speaking. And sometimes you might wonder that why there are so many names mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because there are chapters in almost every canto where there are pages and pages of filled with names of various personalities. So therefore, once we understand the specific standard of Srimad Bhagavatam, what is Srimad Bhagavatam? Or rather, who is Srimad Bhagavatam, not what is Srimad Bhagavatam? Then we can understand, then once that foundational principle is clear that who is Srimad Bhagavatam, then everything will make sense. So there are only two things which are recommended to counteract the ill effects of Kali Yuga, which is characterized by quarrel and disagreement. This age has two symptoms, quarrel and disagreement, for no reason, just like a forest fire. Nobody starts a forest fire, but it is just the nature of two dry bamboos coming together, and there is a friction and there is a spark, and then there is the whole forest fire which takes place. So to counteract these effects, the quarrel and hypocrisy or the disagreement amongst people, two things are recommended. Primarily the chanting of the holy names of Krishna and Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada once was speaking in a Rath Yatra, it's a 10 minutes lecture, and he just spoke about the holy name. And then he mentioned, and if you can't chant, then we have these books. So primarily, even the message of the Bhagavatam, the conclusion of the Bhagavatam is also chanting. And then Srimad Bhagavatam just facilitates in that. And it is considered the Amalam Purana, the spotless Purana, glorifying Krishna. So when these names are given in the Bhagavatam, since it is the highest, hello, can you all hear? Hare Krishna. So when these names are mentioned in the scriptures, it means they have some importance. So once His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was speaking, and he mentioned that how these names are names of the great, great devotees of the Lord, and simply the chanting of these names is extremely purifying. And since these names have made their way into Srimad Bhagavatam, so they must be important. Because amongst all the scriptures, Bhagavatam has the highest place. It is described that Yamaraj has the Bhagavatam which has 1 lakh verses. He is the Mahajan. So and the Bhagavatam which we have, it has 18,000 verses. The reason is because Shukadeva Goswami spoke it publicly for the first time to Parikshit Maharaj, who became the instrument to manifest Srimad Bhagavatam in this world. And he only had 7 days to live. So Shukadeva Goswami chose the most important parts of Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of the essence, and spoke it to Parikshit Maharaj. So what we have received is the essence of the essence of the essence. Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the essence of all scriptures, even the essence of the Vedanta. And what we have is the essence of all that essence. So everything, each and every word of Bhagavatam is important and is extremely purifying. So therefore these names are mentioned one after the other. There are 4 levels at which people approach God. One is, the lowest is that of fear. Higher than that is there is some desire to be fulfilled. So they approach God. And higher than that is to approach God out of duty, because He is giving us so many things. So it's our duty to reciprocate. And the highest level is to approach God just out of love. There's no fear, there's no obligation, as in out of duty, or there's no desire to be fulfilled. We just serve Him because we love Him. And there are so many scriptures all over the world, even amongst the Vedic literature, there are so many scriptures, but there are only 2 scriptures which deal at the level of love, and that is Gita and Bhagavatam. They deal at the level of love, and they give the highest information about God. So many people all over the world, that they're searching after God, but only these 2 scriptures give complete information. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita, the name itself suggests the song of God. And Srimad Bhagavatam is directly God. That means Srimad Bhagavat, directly Bhagavan. So Bhagavatam is wherever Gita ends, Bhagavatam begins. Bhagavatam is the practical demonstration of the principles of the Gita. And one more important difference between Gita and Bhagavatam, specific standard of Bhagavatam, power of Bhagavatam, is that in Gita, Krishna speaks many things, and we are supposed to do certain things, do this, do that, and then Krishna says, if you do this, this is the result, if you do that, that is the result. But Bhagavatam is such a powerful scripture that we don't even need to do anything. We just have to simply sit and hear, and we'll get all the benefit of following all the principles of the Gita and 1,000,000 times more. That is the specific standard of Bhagavatam. It is directly God. Therefore, we say, who is Srimad Bhagavatam, rather than saying what is Bhagavatam. When Krishna appears as half lion and half man, he is known as Narsingadev. When Krishna appears as an ideal human being, he is known as Lord Ramachandra. When Krishna appears as a tortoise, he is known as Kurmadev. So when Krishna appears as a book, he is known as Srimad Bhagavat. That is the specific standard. And how is it relevant to our life? Because we are having these classes. Srila Prabhupada incorporated this class in our daily schedule. He found it so important. The example is given in the Bhagavatam Mahatmya itself, which is a section from Padma Purana, glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. And one story is mentioned where Lord Brahma, he's been asked to create. And he starts praying to Krishna that, my dear Lord, when Krishna appears, that you have given me this duty to create, to fill the universe with the living entities. So creation is my job. But when I'm creating, I'll have to create all kinds of living entities. I'll have to associate with all kinds of living entities carrying different stocks of karma, different types of karma. And this is in the mode of passion. So tell me, while I'm doing this, performing my duty, how can I remain unaffected, untouched by the effects of this association? And Lord Krishna said, recite Bhagavatam every day. And since then it is mentioned, Lord Brahma has been reciting Bhagavatam every day, and he has faced no impediment in carrying out the duty entrusted to him. Once Lord Shiva approached Lord Krishna, that you have given me this duty to annihilate the universe, the creation, that means pralay, but I do not have the power for the final pralay. So now there are 4 types of pralay or annihilation mentioned in the Bhagavatam. One type of pralaya is happening constantly within our body. Our body is constantly being destroyed. That is one type of pralaya, annihilation. Every moment the body is annihilated, keeps changing every moment. And second type of pralaya is when Brahma goes to sleep and all the universes below his planet, they are submerged in water, all destroyed. All the planets below his planet are submerged in water. They are destroyed. Third type of pralaya is when Brahma actually completes his lifespan of 100 years and dies. And the final pralaya is the destruction of the material identity itself. That means when the soul actually gets liberated, goes past the material atmosphere and enters the spiritual world. So this is the final pralaya. Lord Shiva requested Krishna that you have given me this power to annihilate the universe whenever there is a need, but I do not have the power for the final pralaya. So Lord Krishna told him, you recite Bhagavatam every day. And since then Lord Shiva has been reciting and he has gained this power for the final pralaya. And Lord Vishnu, being the maintainer of the universe, he prayed to Krishna. Although tattva-wise there is no difference between the two, but still Krishna is the source of even Vishnu. And Vishnu was praying to Krishna that you have given me this task to maintain the universe, and whenever there is a need to re-establish the religious principles, I will incarnate time and again and I will maintain the living entities. But please tell me, how will I maintain your devotees who have no desires? They need not hanker for anything. They don't hanker for anything, actually. So how will I maintain them? How will I satisfy them? And more than that, my dear Lord, please tell me, how will I maintain my wife Lakshmi? So two questions he asked. And Krishna told him the same thing, that recite Bhagavatam every day. So since then, it is described Lord Vishnu has been reciting, and it takes him 1 month. And Lakshmiji listens. Then Lakshmiji recites and Vishnu listens, and it takes 2 months for Lakshmiji. The reason given in the Bhagavat Mahatmya is because Vishnu's mind is preoccupied with so many managerial things, and he speaks it in a month. But Lakshmi is free from such concerns, and therefore she is more peaceful. And the topics of Bhagavatam are more elaborately mentioned within her mind. So she is able to speak for 2 months to stretch. So you see, the creator, the maintainer and the destroyer, even the most powerful controllers of the universe, they also need the help of Bhagavatam to create, maintain and destroy. So the relevant point is, our life also we see that every moment we are engaged in either of these three activities only. Either we are trying to create something, or we are trying to maintain something, whether it be our relationships or whatever, our existence, or we are trying to destroy something to create something new. So even if such powerful controllers of the universe need the help of Bhagavatam, so how much we need it? So Bhagavatam was specifically given by Srila Vyasadeva for Kali Yuga. We find in the first canto of Bhagavatam where Vyasadeva is sitting and he says, foresee the evils of Kali Yuga, prayan alpayushah sabhya klavasmin yuge janah, mandaha samand matiyo mand bhagyahi vadratah. People in Kali Yuga will have short lifespan and short memory, and they will be lazy. So lazy as in, it doesn't mean lazy physically. You see people, there are many people who sleep only 3-4 hours in 24 hours, and they are very hard working. So when Bhagavatam speaks about the laziness, it talks about the real standard for a human being, and that is lazy when it comes to spiritual life. People will be lazy when it comes to spiritual life. And even if they are physically not lazy, they are okay, then they will be intellectually lazy. As in, even if the simple truths are spoken from the scriptures, they won't be able to understand. Simple things don't make sense to them in Kali Yuga. And even if that is taken care, they are physically okay, intellectually okay, but they will come across many pseudo-saints, many superficial, they will come across many superficial religious rituals propagated by many superficial saints. And even if that is taken care, they are physically not lazy, they are active, they intellectually also they have the capacity, they come across the right person, right devotee of the Lord. And above all, it is mentioned, they will be always disturbed. Even if they come to a satsang or an association, they will be always disturbed. So foreseeing all this, Vyasadeva therefore compiled all the scriptures, Vedanta Sutra, Mahabharata, 108 Upanishads, and then you have Puranas, 18 Puranas. Still he was not satisfied, because it was just dealing with the bodily platform. And he was encouraging people in the principles of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. In one sense, which is just a cheating religion. It's just diverting people from somewhere, but it's not giving them the right direction. So therefore Narad Muni chastised him. And Vyasadeva, after receiving that chastisement and the right direction, wrote down Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you see, Vyasadeva is very, very clear when he wrote Bhagavatam from the very beginning. If you study other Vedic literatures, you might have to just guess who is actually God, what does he look like, and what are his attributes, qualities, where does he live, what are his activities. Vyasadeva, because he had done this huge mistake, he was not satisfied. Even the author himself was not satisfied writing down those scriptures. So how can we be satisfied unless we go through Bhagavatam? So therefore, he wrote down Srimad Bhagavatam. And generally, whenever you're writing a book, or you see movies also, whatever, or somebody is on the stage, wants to introduce somebody, first the person's qualities are introduced, spoken about, and then they announce the name. So let's welcome this personality. But Vyasadeva is very clear. He wants to make a statement. So before he introduces God, he first speaks, who is that God? So the first verse of the Bhagavatam is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. That means I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord Vasudeva, who is the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. And then he speaks about his qualities. Tena Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Mohyanti Yat Surya. So all these, you read the first verse of Bhagavatam. So first he introduces who is God. So that means he's directly talking about the highest. In the second verse he says, Dharma Projita Kaitava Parma Atra Nirmat Saranam Satam. That superficial religious principles are thoroughly kicked out from this literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore it only talks about the highest, and each and every word that is there in Bhagavatam is of highest benefit for all of us, for all the human beings. So this has to be understood. Who is the author? Like in the case of Gita, who is the speaker? Who is the author? What is this book all about? When these foundational principles are clear, then everything in the Bhagavatam or the Gita will make sense and will not have any doubts. Once that foundation, and this foundational principle, Krishna is my ever well-wisher, is the greatest well-wisher. Krishna is God. Vyasadeva is a perfect being, literary incarnation of God. Then everything makes sense. So because they have written it, so it must be important. So therefore, each and every word in Bhagavatam is so potent. Therefore, we find the names. And in the first part of the purport, Prabhupada mentions how Ruchi, and the word used for him is Brahma Varchasvi. That means a perfect Brahmana. He executed the Brahminical duties very rigidly. The son of Manu. So this is very important, and Prabhupada always laid stress on this particular point, that one becomes a Brahmana, because everybody wants to become a Brahmana, at least not nowadays. In the Shastra it is also mentioned, Kalau Shudra Sambhavaha. If somebody says, I am a Brahmana, I am a Kshatriya, I am a Vaishya, it's all out of ignorance, because everybody is a Shudra in Kali Yuga. The example is, once one senior devotee had come to our temple and he asked that, because out of the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, the four divisions of social divisions of society, and these divisions are according to Guna and Karma, it's not casteism. Guna and Karma, Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. Only Shudras are supposed to take up some employment. Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya, they are not supposed to. Vaishyas, they earn money. Kshatriyas, they earn the administration and exact taxes, and they maintain themselves by protecting other three classes. Brahmanas educate others in the principles, godly principles, and whatever charity they get, they maintain themselves with that. And the Shudras, their only duty is to serve the other three classes. So with the cooperation of all four classes, the society runs. And for every class, the duties are also mentioned, and they are in such a way that ultimately all four classes will reach the same goal. That is Sam Siddhir Haritoshnam, second chapter of Bhagavatam, first canto. That is the goal of all of Atha Pumbi Duja Shrestha Varanashrama Vibhagashah Swanasthita Siddharmasya Sam Siddhir Haritoshnam. The goal of all occupational duties, Varnashrama Dharma, is ultimately Sam Siddhir Haritoshnam. And all the duties are also given in such a way that ultimately it will result in the same goal. But that is not being understood properly. So, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, none of them are actually allowed to, Brahman, Kshatriya and Vaishya, they can't take up any employment. But nowadays, the devotee asks, so how many of you would like your children to become Brahmanas? Nobody raised the hand. And then he said, how many of you would like your children to take up some employment in a nice company, work for some great personality? Everybody raised their hand. So it is out of ignorance that we don't understand the principle. So anyways, the Shastras mentioned, we can blame it on the age. We are living in the worst of the ages. Kalau Shudra Sambhava. And by birth, our existence is pure. Our birth is impure. Therefore, there is a provision of many, many samskars, purificatory processes that is mentioned in the Shastras. Garbhadhan samskar, after the child is born, there is a samskar, 6 months, 3 months. So these are there to purify the birth. Material birth for a spirit soul, for a spiritual being, is impure. It's an impurity. Just like Prabhupada mentions in one purport that fever is the manifestation, is a symbol of the disease within the body. Similarly, this material body is a symbol, it's a disease state. It's an indication of disease for a pure spirit soul who is eternal, blissful and knowledgeable. And then, but the soul has to experience birth, old age, disease and death, and so many other the Trividha Tapa, miseries caused by the mind and body, miseries caused by natural disasters, and miseries caused by other living entities. The soul, which is full of knowledge, has to go through forgetfulness. So this is a sign of disease, that our birth is impure and one has to qualify himself. So Brahmana, just by being born in a family of Brahmana, one doesn't become a lawyer. He has to qualify himself. Just by being born in a family of doctors, one doesn't become a doctor. Just by wearing the clothes of a doctor, one doesn't become a doctor. Similarly, one doesn't become a Brahmana just by being born in the family of Brahmanas or just by wearing a sacred thread. One has to qualify himself. One is known as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya by the Guna and Karma. Just like in Krishna's own family. Now Vasudeva and Nanda Baba, they had the same father, born from the same father. Vasudeva was born from the queen and Nanda Baba from a cowherd woman. But when the children are born from the same father, naturally Nanda Maharaj was inclined towards the occupation of a Vaishya and Vasudeva was inclined towards the occupation of a king. So Guna and Karma. And naturally, and they were allowed to do that. Even the Vedic education was designed in such a way that the more emphasis was on bringing out the innate abilities of a child. Nowadays, they are stressed. Recently, there is a family here studying in a very nice international school. They have a small daughter, and she doesn't talk much. but she is intelligent, but it's her nature not to speak much, and the school teacher, they are just after her, and the parents are in distress, and they are just trying to make her into something else, which she is not. But the Vedic education was given in a way that everything that was taught was actually useful in life later on. And nowadays, if somebody is face to face with problems of life, our sine theta plus cos theta equal to 1 or algebra or whatever, nothing of this sort will come to our rescue. So all that we are given in schools and colleges nowadays, it is just information, not knowledge. The Vedas describe knowledge means to know what is material, what is matter, to know what is spirit, what is spiritual, and to know who is the controller of both. That is actually knowledge. What mostly people are receiving is information. And again, we are living in the worst of the ages, Kali Yuga, so we can expect all these things to happen. So therefore, the association of devotees, the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, the opportunity to chant the Lord's holy names, associate with devotees, have his darshan, have his prasad, this is not an ordinary thing, especially in Kali Yuga. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prashantatma kutishvapi mahamune. It is described that how rare is the devotee of the Lord. Even though we are in minority, it doesn't mean that devotees are wrong. The whole world is against, on the opposite side. It is the age of externals, Kali Yuga, where with the majority you can prove anything. So when things are proved with majority, that means there is some influence of the age, Kali Yuga. Right or wrong can be proved just because you have some majority. Like once one politician, he was distributing sweets in his building, and somebody asked him, Netaji, what is this? Why are you distributing sweets? He said, my son has failed the exam. So then they asked, hey, Baba, but you distribute sweets when the child actually clears the exam. Why are you distributing sweets now? He said, out of 70 people, 60 people have failed. So majority is on my child's side only. So therefore I'm happy. So this is how people see things. But spiritual perspective is totally different. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana. Once we learn to see the world through the eyes of scriptures, everything will make sense. So it is. This verse describes muktanam api siddhanam, among the liberated souls and among the siddhanam, the perfected beings. Liberated souls and the perfected beings. And out of 1 crore, I think is 10 crores. So out of 10 crores of muktanam, the liberated souls, and the 10 crores of the siddhanam, the perfected beings, narayana parayana, the devotee, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayana. That means out of crores and crores and crores of living entities, hardly one may be a devotee of Narayana. So however small the association of devotees may be, but it's extremely rare. Because whatever is rare, you don't find it in abundance. Something which is valuable, it is always, you will find it in minority, in one sense. So devotees are in minority in Kali Yuga, but that doesn't mean, because they are valuable, they are so special. In the Gita also, Krishna declares that manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddha yatatam api siddhanam kaschin ma vetti tattvata. Out of thousands and thousands among men, hardly one may endeavor for perfection. And out of thousands and thousands of those who know, who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So Krishna himself is saying that a devotee is extremely, extremely rare. And he declares in the Bhagavatam that devotees are his heart. And when a person is actually pleased with us, he will give us his heart. So Krishna's heart is his devotees. So when we have received the association of Krishna's devotees, that means Krishna is already pleased with us and he has showered his blessings upon us. So this opportunity to associate with devotees when the whole world is going just the opposite way, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, try to understand the message of Krishna, chant his names, have Krishna Prasad. This is a very, very rare thing, extraordinary thing. So we are living in the worst of the ages. Therefore, in such an age, because in Satyuga, Dwapar, Treta, there were many, many devotees. But in Kali Yuga, to get such an opportunity, it's the rarest thing. The Vedic scriptures are very clear about it. He said there are many, many people have different definitions of what is a good fortune. But according to the scriptures, again seeing through the eyes of the scriptures, the greatest fortune is to be is to have the association of the devotees of the Lord. So, Kaler Doshe Nidhe Rajan, even though this age is full of faults, and our birth by, we are impure by birth, and there are so many disqualifications. People have very less inclination towards spiritual life. And even though we have inclinations, we have to deal with our mind, our bodies, aging bodies. But still, we have received this great fortune by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And that's something very special. We should cherish it and we should hold on to it. Because when we have to go through problems in life, we need a strong anchor, just like a boat in the ocean. If it is anchored, then the waves of the ocean might just wobble it a little bit, but it will not be swept away. But if it has no anchor, it will be swept away easily by one or two waves. Similarly, devotees are not swept away because Krishna is with them. In the Gita, he declares, Kaunteya prati janahi name bhaktaha pranashyati. Declare it boldly that my devotees will never perish. He promised Mother Kunti that I will bring all your five children back from the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and he did it. So Krishna's devotees never perish, and Krishna is extremely, extremely possessive about his devotees. He says, even if my devotee commits the most abominable crime, still he is to be considered saintly. Because he quickly becomes righteous, he is on the right path, he is rightly situated. So one of the 64 qualities of Krishna is Nimish Animish. Nimish means one who blinks his eyes, and Animish means one who doesn't blink his eyes. So somebody asked him, why, what is the meaning? He said, Nimish, why do I blink my eye? He says, whenever my devotee commits some mistake, I just blink my eye. That means I overlook the faults, mistake. And why don't you blink your eye? He says, whenever my devotee renders even some small seva, I just open my eyes wide without blinking and I try to magnify the little seva that he has done. So Krishna is extremely, extremely kind to his devotees. He says in the Bhagavatam, 9th chapter, in the episode of Ambarish Maharaj, Durvasa Muni goes to him and he says that, I cannot save you. Devotees are my heart. I know, they know no one but me. And I know no one but them. It is described in the scriptures that God has nothing to do. Yes, materially he has nothing to do, but he's always busy trying to serve his devotees, trying to fulfill their desires. He's super busy. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was doing everything more than anybody else, although people could not notice. Just like the episode when once the Kauravas, they broke the rules of the war and they attacked the Pandavas at night, which was against the rules. You couldn't fight after the sunset, but they attacked. And the Pandava army was being slaughtered. So finally, they decided, let's call Ghatotkacha, because his power, that he was a demon after all, son of Bhima, born of Hidimba. So his power, the power of the demons, grows after sunset. And he was called and he started causing havoc in the Kaurava army. He was almost destroying the Kaurava army. And finally, Duryodhana and others, they approached Karna. You have to kill him with the Shakti weapon that you have, the invincible Shakti weapon. Karna refused. He said, I can't, because that is specially kept for Arjuna. I will release it to Arjuna and kill him. So I can't do it. And finally, Duryodhana told him that, Arjun, you can use it on Arjun only when we are alive. So you better use it now, otherwise this demon will kill all of us. And Karna finally released the weapon, and Ghatotkacha was killed. And seeing this, Arjuna started jumping in great happiness on the chariot of Arjuna. And Arjuna was bewildered. So he asked Krishna, "What is this? Our nephew has been killed and you are jumping?" He said, "Since the day Karna got this Shakti weapon, I was in great anxiety that I was just worried about you, because this weapon is invincible. So now it is gone, so I am very, very happy. Now you are safe." Now, it's not that Krishna couldn't have protected Arjuna, but his affection for Arjuna is so much that sometimes God, out of his the affection of Krishna for his devotees, covers his own intelligence also with yogamaya, that he forgets his own powers. When Aghasur was sent by Kamsa to kill Krishna, and all the cowherd boys, they entered the mouth of Aghasur, for a moment Krishna was bewildered. And it is mentioned in Bhagavatam that suddenly then Krishna realized his own powers. So his affection for his devotees makes him forget his own majesty, his own powers. That's what Vrindavan is. In Vrindavan, it's not that only the Brajavasis forget that Krishna is God. Even Krishna forgets that he is God. So love can actually overpower Krishna's potencies. That happens in the case of Yashoda Mai and Krishna in Damodar Leela. When Yashoda Mai is trying to bind Krishna out of love, because she was worried, if I don't bind him, he will go away into the forest and commit some more bigger mischief. But she was doing it out of love. And it is described that all of Krishna's powers, Shaktis, he has multifarious energies, came to protect Krishna from being bound up by Yashoda Mai. And therefore Yashoda Mai was not able to bind Krishna. Every time the rope was falling short by two fingers. And all the Shaktis were trying their best to protect Krishna. But ultimately Yashoda Mai's love prevailed and Krishna was bound. So love is something that overpowers. So Arjuna asked Krishna, "If it was so, we have been fighting for so many days, why did Karna not release it and kill me?" Krishna said, "Every day Karna would come with a resolve in his mind. Today I am going to release this Shakti weapon and kill Arjuna and the battle would be over. But every time he would come in front of you, I would make him forget." So this was Krishna. Even though he was doing everything, but nobody could see. So sometimes this doubt may arise within our mind that, oh, we are devotees of Krishna, we are praying to Padmarajas, but we can't see his help, we can't see his mercy in our life. But it's not necessary that he has to personally show himself to us. Like Arjuna, who was sitting next to Krishna, was not able to see how Krishna was acting and protecting him. So similarly, we are also being protected always, but we don't know. And another incident, when the battle was over, the last day, now Krishna told Arjuna, "Jump off, get off the chariot." And Arjuna said, "But every day you get down first. Now today you're asking me." Krishna said, "No questions, you just jump." And Arjuna jumped, he followed, because he was surrendered to Krishna. And then Krishna jumped off. And the chariot immediately, within a moment, exploded. And there was not a trace of chariot to be found anywhere. So Arjuna was completely bewildered. So he asked Krishna, "What is this?" Krishna said, "When you were busy fighting the battle, there were so many warriors who were releasing these powerful arrows at you to kill you, which you were not able to see, but I was seeing everything. So I had stopped all those arrows around your chariot. So now the battle is over, and these arrows were very powerful. They had to hit and destroy some target, so I released them now and they destroyed the chariot. The chariot, you couldn't even find a speck of dust from, one piece of the chariot, because, and mind you, this chariot was not ordinary chariot. It was given by Agni, a celestial chariot, and it had a benediction that wherever it was drawn, it would bring victory to the person who was riding on the chariot. And that chariot was destroyed within a moment, but Krishna was protecting. So this is how Krishna is protecting devotees always, but we may not see him acting right face to face, because we are not qualified. We have to qualify ourselves. So just like Prabhupada says, one has to qualify himself as a Brahmana. So as a devotee also, just by wearing the dress of a devotee, we don't become qualified to see God. We have to still work hard and come to the platform. And when Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochana, when we are, our eyes are filled with love, we'll be able to see God also and see Him acting personally, face to face, to protect us, sitting next to us. When we chant, He'll be right there. So by birth, everybody is impure, but then one has to qualify himself. So Kali Yuga is the worst of the ages, but we have the best facility. We are connected to Srila Prabhupada, and we have the facility, because of His grace, we have the facility to have prasad, chant Krishna's names, participate in kirtan, which is the religious practice for the age, study Srimad Bhagavatam, which even the demigods do not get Srimad Bhagavatam. They wanted to exchange that pot of nectar with Shukadeva Goswami, and they said, you give Parikshit this pot of nectar so that he can continue to live, he will not die from the snake bite, and instead give this nectar which you are going to give him to us. And Shukadeva Goswami just told them, get lost, you are not qualified. Even the demigods are hankering to hear Bhagavatam, but we are so fortunate by Prabhupada's grace that we have the opportunity and we are able to do it. So this is no ordinary thing. And as devotees also, we have to qualify ourselves to see God acting in our life face to face. He's always acting, He's always protecting. But just like even Arjuna could not see, we may not be able to see it at the moment. Even when we come to the level of Arjuna, we may not be able to see, but we will be able to realize how Krishna is acting. The more we make spiritual advancement, the more we are able to see Krishna's hand in every activity of our life, every act, everything that takes place in our life. So qualification is very important. So Krishna is the only person, just like this purport mentions that Brahma Bandhu, Shudras, women, and all these people are put in one category. But again, this is all external designations. As I said, Bhagavatam speaks about the highest principles. Bhagavat does not talk from the bodily platform. So Bhagavatam, because it is speaking the highest truth, and sometimes the highest truth may not be palatable to those who are immature. But it is speaking, it is because Bhagavatam is speaking out of compassion to wake us up from the bodily platform. Like Srila Prabhupada once, a lady disciple asked, Prabhupada, as women, are we less intelligent? Prabhupada said, yes, if you think you are a woman. So if a woman thinks she is a woman, of course less intelligent. If a man thinks he is man, he is less intelligent. We are all spiritual beings. And through these things, like Radhanath Maharaj was talking to somebody a few days back, so a family has gone through tragedy. So Maharaj says, all these things should be welcome, and it should they should make us turn to Krishna in great humility, like Mother Kunti. Now, on a material platform, there cannot be equality, but if you see, the same Bhagavatam glorifies Draupadi, same Bhagavatam, the first canto itself, Shukadeva Goswami has started speaking, the first thing that comes to his mind is Kunti Devi's prayers. And she says, my dear Lord, I cannot understand you because I am a woman after all. That's her humility. But when somebody becomes a devotee, he goes beyond the bodily platform, and all of us have the equal opportunity to rise to the highest platform. So these things should be understood from the right perspective. And the last part of the purport mentions why there is so much confusion, why there is so much emotion being churned, because so many people who are simply scholars, they are commenting on these scriptures from their own perspective. And that is not the qualification. Just because one knows English and one knows Sanskrit, one can comment on these scriptures. One has to be a devotee. Because only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in Guru and Krishna, all the imports of these scriptures are revealed. Tasyaite hi katita hi artha prakashante mahatmanaha. So anybody who has unlimited faith in Guru and Krishna, implicit faith, to those great souls, the imports of the scriptures are revealed. If some less intelligent person takes up a scripture and start commenting, he will only cause chaos. And there are many such people in the world. And in Bombay also, there are so many WhatsApp messages going around. So this is the only thing I keep telling people, that if you have any doubt, do not just spread the messages without verifying the authenticity. approach a devotee and get it clarified. Otherwise, without even reading, you just spread it. There's a lot of karma coming your way. Because these people have no, we have to check people's credentials. The first qualification to speak on the spiritual subject matter, or to be a guru, or to comment on the scriptures, to write a commentary on the scriptures, the first qualification is that one has to be a devotee. This is the foundational principle. So if Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charita Amrita, so Krishna doesn't care about the bodily designations. We have Haridas Thakur, low born, he called out to Krishna and Krishna was there for him. Draupadi called out and Krishna was there for him. The only reason the entire Kuru dynasty was destroyed, because Krishna took up a vow that because they have disrespected my devotee Draupadi, I will wipe this earth from the entire race of the Kurus. Just for Draupadi, Krishna made sure the entire dynasty of the Kurus was destroyed. Then you have the example of Kunti Devi, who called out a mother-in-law, a mother, a widow, and Krishna was there for her. An elephant like Gajendra called out, so Krishna was there. So again and again, Krishna is giving the hint that whoever you are, whichever position you are, the essence of all religious principles is to, with feeling, call out to Krishna, and Krishna will be there. And same mood is carried by the pure devotees of the Lord. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he was once sitting in Mayapur, and all his senior god brothers were sitting with all the big sannyasis. And Malati Mataji, she entered with a plate of prasad for Prabhupada. But then she saw all these great sannyasis are sitting. She was a bit scared. So she went down and he started crawling on her knees towards Prabhupada. And these god brothers might have been criticizing Prabhupada's disciples or whatever. The Malati Mataji came close to him, and Prabhupada, in front of all the god brothers, told everybody, you know, this is Malati Devi, this girl from the US. She can do anything for me. She will slit her throat for me. And there was complete silence. And all the god brothers were amazed. And then Prabhupada said, and I will do the same for her. That was like, Malati Mataji was overwhelmed and tears started rolling down her eyes. So that's our hope. Even though in Kali Yuga our birth is impure, we have so many disqualifications, worst of the ages. But our hope is that Krishna is somebody who will never misunderstand, who sees us beyond our external designations, and so are the pure devotees. They do not judge us. We will never be judged when we are in front of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Very, very wonderful experience class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. And very nice glorification of Shri Bhagavad Gita and Shri Bhagavatam. And that's very true. Like nowadays, we don't want our kids to become Brahmana, because Brahmana, they don't get any money. And all the. So, Prabhuji, nowadays what happens, kids have become very aggressive. Means when we were little, the parents always would get angry at us. And when we get angry to the kids, means we don't even get angry to the kids, they get angry to us. And
yes, yes, yes. Yes. Yes.
So that's what to do in this situation, Prabhuji. Like you said, we have to see what their interests, and we have to teach them that thing. So all these things were looking very difficult, Prabhuji.
Yes. So the point is, first of all, you just remember the age we are living in, first thing. Secondly, one thing we have to internalize is we have to do our best. Like Chanakya Pandit says, 1 to 5 years, give the child all the love that you can. 5 to 16, strict discipline, because that's the age when the child actually learns. That's the period which is foundational, that will stay with the child forever. And after 16, you should treat your child like a friend. Right? So generally, I have seen here, people start disciplining their child after 16th. Till 16, they just let them do whatever they want to. So that's the age. And another thing, the most important thing that I always tell the parents is, do your best to give whatever you think is best to your children, and at the same time be detached also. Why? Because every soul comes with his or her own baggage of karma, destiny. Like in Advaita Acharya, now he has 6 children, 3 children became great devotees, 3 became impersonalists, Mayavadis. So this just goes to show, Maharaj Amesh, Radhanath Maharaj mentions that every soul has a choice. Every soul has a free will that it comes with, and we can't intervene. Even Krishna will never intervene. All we can do is do our best, just like a guru also. When a guru is teaching, so when he speaks, there may be 1,000 people sitting in the hall speaking the same thing, but everybody will perceive it or take it differently. So therefore, after 5 years, some disciples are at the first platform, some disciples are at the topmost platform. It is because of how they have taken it. And it all also comes from the past devotional activities that they have performed, the guna and karma that they are carrying from the past lives. So that detachment principle is very important. You do your best, give the right instructions with love, and at the same time be detached also, because everybody comes with his or her own destiny. We are just the caretakers, and you will be judged for whatever you have done, not for how they respond. So do your best and be detached at the same time. And most important thing, which I've always seen working, is when we are not able to do certain things in a situation, we become helpless, we become depressed. Why? Because we do not take shelter of Krishna. So Krishna is the only person who can change that destiny, whatever it may be. So we should do our best and pray our best to Krishna. I mean, whatever you desire to see in your children, you should be praying to Krishna for that. He can do it. As Socrates said, we should work as if everything depends on us, and we should pray as if everything depends on Krishna. That means he said, as if everything depends on God. So when we forget the second part, which is the most important part, then we tend to become depressed. Everything is within his hands. He is the supreme controller, and he always responds to his devotees' call, his devotees' prayers, his devotees' desires. That's the only thing he's doing. He has nothing else to do. So these are the things. So we should always try to do whatever is within our control. Within our control we have, we can give the best instructions, the best things, and best guidance. And then something else which is within our control is, we can always pray to Krishna. Do your best and pray. Do your best and pray. These two things should go on. And you will see, in due course, I have seen people changing, children changing. Mm-hmm. And fill them up with prasad, as much as prasad possible. Prasad has that potency. And it definitely works. And if you have put in effort to see your children growing up as some divine beings, then you will see at the right moment they will take it up. Any effort put in devotional service never ever goes in vain. Must be assured of that. Do your best, be detached, pray, know that the effort will not go in vain. Everything that you have invested, you will get back in return. Not immediately, but in due course, everything will come back. So don't worry about it. But we have to play our part well. Right?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Really helpful. Yeah, and we need a lot of blessings from devotees like you.
Alright, thank you very much for allowing me to serve. All glories. Yeah.
Thank you very much. You have given very
Hare
nice.
Krishna.
Yeah.
Prabhuji, I have one question. Since two days back, I have some questions. Only one question regarding some offenses. So, yes. My question is, when according to devotees, devotees will never say that they are devotees. According to means by their humility, they will never say
right.
that they are pure devotees. But they will right. always say that I am a servant of the Lord.
Yes.
Or I am the servant of the devotees. But right. but in such case, if we commit some offenses, if we commit offenses unto them, then how to rectify them? How to rectify ourselves? If we know that I had committed some offenses unto them, then how to rectify them? And even though they forgive, then how can we know that Krishna forgives us?
No, it's all between you and the devotee. Krishna doesn't interfere. Once they have forgiven, you are forgiven.
It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam that when the person committing offenses unto devotees, then Lord will never forgive in any of his life, even though devotees forgive them. So, in such case, how can we rectify us? Please guide.
So, and one thing is, see,
one more question is, when we glorify, out of affection, we glorify the devotees, but that devotee will never accept the glorification, then how can we serve them in such cases? Now, there are two questions. Thank you, Guru. Hare Krishna.
One question is, how do we get rid of the offenses? Even though the devotees might forgive, and you read in Bhagavatam that the Lord will never forgive, right? Second is, how do we serve the person if he doesn't accept the glorification? Is that right?
Yes, Prabhuji.
So the first thing, it's not that Krishna will never forgive. You see, how the devotees have to deal with each other, that is personally demonstrated by Lord Chaitanya in his... That's why he came. He came to show us how to perform bhakti, devotional service. Therefore, he took the form of a devotee. And you see in the life of Lord Chaitanya, many devotees like Mother Shachi committed an offense against Advaita Acharya. She said this Advaita is duplicitous, he is making my son into sannyasis. He has already taken away one son, but he will take away my second son also. And that was the offense. But then Mother Shachi, during Mahaprakash Leela, was not given love of God. And Lord Chaitanya said because of this offense. Only if she takes the dust of the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya. So when Advaita Acharya was unconscious after dancing in Kirtan, Mother Shachi took that dust and put it on her head. And that's how she was forgiven and given the love of God. And then there's another incident where the Lord is telling the devotee that if you have criticized somebody, if you have offended somebody, then with the same mouth, if you have drunk poison, with the same mouth you drink nectar. That means with the same mouth you glorify that devotee. And then, so Lord Chaitanya has personally demonstrated that these things are forgiven once you take a humble position. Because the Lord is witnessing that although you have committed to err as human, definitely we all commit mistakes. And that is one of the faults we are born with. So the Lord has demonstrated that once you take a humble position, beg forgiveness, serve that devotee with humility, you are forgiven. It's not that you are never forgiven. The Lord has forgiven. The Lord forgave Gopal, Chapala, and once you beg forgiveness from the devotee, that devotee forgives. Like you have the incident of Ramayana also. Sugriv, one of the reasons why Sugriv got that beating from Vali in the first incident, and Lord Ram did not kill, Lord Ram said, I could not recognize you and Vali look the same. But the main reason why the Lord allowed Sugriv to go through such thrashing at the hands of Vali, because when Lord Ram and Lakshman met Sugriv, so Sugriv respected Lord Ram by giving him an asana to sit. But Sugriv did not offer any asana to Lakshman. So that was an offense which Lord Ram noticed. So for that he had to undergo this reaction. And second time, the Lord said, so next time you wear one garland around your neck. So he told Lakshman, you give your garland to Sugriv. So Lakshman took out his garland and put it on Sugriv. So that was taken as a blessing from Lakshman. Second time, Lord Ram helped Sugriv kill, he killed Vali. So any kind of offenses, when you approach devotee, when the devotee is forgiven, it is taken as forgiven by the Lord, because the Lord never interferes. Devotee ke beech mein, if there is something, they have to sort it out. And in the case of Durvasa, when Durvasa was running away from Sudarshan, from Ambarish, he approached Lord Narayan. Lord Narayan said, I can't do much. You have to go. If Ambarish Maharaj forgives you, you are forgiven. And that's what he did, and he was forgiven. So you have to, when you realize you have committed an offense, just beg forgiveness. And please, that devotees are naturally humble and forgiving. So once they are forgiven, they shower their affection on you, you should be rest assured that everything is fine. And we shouldn't be living in that space where constantly haunted by the thoughts of offenses. That's not healthy. Human Krishna also understands, and Krishna also sees you have begged forgiveness, you have humbled yourself before the devotee, and that's it. So nothing to worry much. Right? And as far as I say, you are saying if they don't accept glorification, how to serve them? So glorification is not the only service. So you can find different ways in which we can serve the devotee. It will all vary from person to person. So Krishna sees our heart, that we are, within our heart, we are trying to please that devotee. So Krishna just sees our heart. That's important. And Krishna will show the way. It's a dynamic field. It's not static. It's dynamic. Once you have a desire, all the arrangements Krishna will make. Once you develop a desire to serve him, he will make all the arrangements. Once you develop a desire to serve a devotee, Krishna will make the arrangements. The whole creation, the whole material world is created because of the desire. So Krishna can do anything. So you have to have that faith, develop that faith. Pray to deities. So he is the closest person to our heart, the Lord. So never ever feel depressed or anything like that. Immediately fold your hands, pray to Krishna for guidance, and he will definitely send guidance. He is there. As soon as the devotee call out, Krishna will guide. Krishna will give the intelligence how to go about it. So that part we have to do it more seriously than our own efforts. The prayer, taking shelter. The whole material universe is designed in such a way so that we take shelter. Right?
Yes. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat.
Dandavat, Prabhuji, yes.
Prabhuji, I am going to mention something, it's unsolicited, but you know that girl you mentioned who's very intelligent and doesn't talk much, and the parents
right.
are frustrated. So I don't know the details, but you know, maybe she is suffering from some sort of autism. Those are the symptoms. And so she needs sincere help from a child psychologist. I don't know the details, but if you can humbly mention to the parents, maybe they
can
help
the parents.
The girl.
Parents are all fine. I know the family okay. very well. The girl is also fine. It's just that she doesn't talk much like other children. And she's intelligent, she's
right.
artistic, she's technically
right.
sound. It's just that it's not
right.
people's natures mix with other people.
Right.
She does not talk
right.
much. Just like I am the similar case in my school days or college case. So there's nothing wrong with the girl, but I was just saying, these people, instead of encouraging the child for whatever ability she has, they are just trying to impose their own thinking patterns on the girl, on a small child. She's just 6-7 years old. And that's kind of a torture. So girl is all right, family is all right. This is from the international schools. They're just many families I've seen, they have taken out their children from such schools with too much pressure to perform.
Right.
Rather than seeing the child's inclination and guiding the child accordingly.
Right.
Yes, but thank you very much for your concern. Anything else? Hare Krishna. Anything else? Yes. Yes.
Prabhuji, so how do we know that what is Krishna's desire is like, you know, Krishna is controlling everything and everything is happen only, it's in control of Krishna. So how do we know that how much we have to work hard, like best or try our best or what is Krishna's, like, you know, you might know because you are more elevated, but how do I, you know, Kanish Bhakta know that this was the Krishna's desire? And so, you know, sometimes we pray Krishna and thinking that this is the best thing to do, but that's not right because we see only in our हमारे जो अराउंड होते हैं उसमें ही हमको पता होता है पर कृष्णा इज मोर तो हमको कैसे पता चले कि कृष्णा की ये इच्छा है
सो द बेस्ट वे इज वन इज एज आई सेड कॉन्स्टेंट प्रेयर्स प्रेयर इज द की फॉर गाइडेंस एंड कृष्णा इज ऑलवेज गोइंग टू गाइड Second is, we can, whenever we take a step, whenever we are confused about something, we can approach senior devotees and seek their guidance, whether it is right or whether it is wrong. The best, at this stage, we are at a level where we cannot understand what is right, what is wrong. So best is to take guidance from devotees, because what happens in that, and you might think that, But the devotee, I don't have advanced devotees around me. But Krishna sees that we are humbling ourselves, seeking guidance. So through some media, Krishna will definitely send that instruction that is meant for you. When he sees that you are going around humbling yourself, seeking guidance, Krishna will send. So there is this is a system within the universe. If somebody has a sincere desire, the whole creation is running based on desire. That even if somebody a non-devotee, he has a desire to come close to Krishna, to understand Krishna, but he doesn't know how to do it, or whom to approach. So, but the desire is sincere. So even if that person is sitting in the remotest corner of the creation, in a dark cave, wearing dark clothes, with no electricity around him, still a guru will appear in front of him. A guide will appear in front of him to guide him. So that is a system within the universe Krishna has created. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he was in the forest, 5-year-old, didn't know what to do, but the desire was strong. He wanted some guidance, Narad Muni appeared, because Paramatma is the common connection. Through some media, Krishna will definitely let you know, once we are in that prayerful mood. So now this, when I'm saying prayerful mood, prayer, praying, it may sound very simple, but this is the most powerful weapon we have. Always be in that prayerful mood and praying to Krishna. I have seen great devotees praying to Krishna. Like Prabhupada was once praying in Los Angeles temple. Somebody asked, when he was crying, Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada, what were you praying? He said, I was praying to Krishna to protect me from Maya. But you are always away from Maya. How can Maya protect you? How can Maya influence? He said, because I am praying, so I am always protected. So that holds true for all of us. Krishna reciprocates with our prayers. Guidance, whatever you need, everything will come. Either you will take up some book in your hand, and suddenly that line will be the particular chapter you are reading. In that chapter, you will find the answer. A particular line will answer your question. Or some person will come and tell you, a devotee will tell you, or you are sitting in a Bhagavatam class, somebody will speak that particular point which is meant for you. Or sometimes Krishna will reveal to you from within the heart. Or sometimes Krishna may also reveal to you through a non-devotee. And whenever it happens, you will know this is the answer. It's not that, how will I know when they are revealing that it is for me? You will know. From within the heart, Krishna will let you know that this is it. This is the right thing. Right? So that prayerful mood, that constant touch with Krishna is very important, because he is the source of all knowledge. And see, guidance from devotees. If you see, feel there is no one around, then Krishna is the guide, as long as you don't have devotees around you to guide you. So whoever you have faith in, just approach them, seek clarification, guidance. But once you have a sincere desire, pray to Krishna. And guidance, as I said, through some medium, it will definitely come. 100%. Have that faith. There has never been a person in the history of the creation, you read Bhagavatam, read Puranas, who has approached Krishna and he's been let down. An elephant called out, a 5-year-old boy called out, a woman called out, a low-born person called out, Krishna was there for everybody. So the desire, Dhruv Maharaj desired to glorify Krishna when he appeared in front of him, but he didn't know, he had never studied. So Lord only touched his head with a conch shell and he started offering beautiful prayers which are being glorified even today. So that desire is our only qualification. We only have one qualification and that is desire. And that should be done. We should express our desire before Krishna. And even if we are not qualified, Krishna will give us the qualification. He always empowers us according to our desire. That's it. This is the essence, sum and substance of spiritual life. Have the right desire and Krishna will empower you according to your desire. Right? And everything becomes easier and easier as you make more and more advancement. You will know why a particular thing is happening, the way it is happening, what is to be done, what is not to be done. It will spontaneously start happening. And you will see somebody is working through you. So it will happen. Don't worry. Two things are required, enthusiasm and patience in bhakti. So you have the enthusiasm, have the patience also. Everything, if we are sincere, Krishna will always reciprocate. He will reward us for our sincerity. Have the enthusiasm, have the faith. Right?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Anything else? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat.
Prabhuji, before 2 days, unknowingly I heard very young, 22 years, Vaishnava. The answer, the question is asked by, same question asked by Prabhuji, and the lecture is also on the same thing. So, Krishna is helping us, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for correcting me. And thank you very much for wonderful association. Dandavat Pranam. All goes to the Prabhupada and Prabhudev Vrindavan.
All goes to Shri. Thank you all so much. And I look forward to serving all of you in the future also.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji. We also
have
from you and please pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Panchakalpatrubhyesh.
Panchakalpatrubhyesh. Kripa Sundarbhyesh.